Good morning. How you guys doing this morning? Doing good? Good. All right. It's good to worship with you guys. Love that last song that we just sang. Just wanted to welcome you to the Rock Church. My name's Caleb Yetton, one of the pastors here. And today we're completing our Great Adventure series. This is the sixth and final message of this series. For the last 5 weeks, we've been looking at marriage and families and parenting and biblical truths that we can apply to our families. I think it's been really a great series personally for me to listen to. Have you guys been blessed by this series, hearing the truths in this? Yeah. The truths and values that we've been discussing in this series have been life-transforming principles that have been taught in this church for 20 years, and they've been life-changing to me personally the last 12 years that I've been able to hear sermons like these and a series like these. I want to encourage you, whatever stage of life you're in, whether you have kids right now or not, I want to encourage you to please be open to what God may speak to your heart through series like this. There are things that we can all learn from these talks because we're looking at the Bible, and the truth speaks to all of us. There's many big picture thoughts and convictions that I was able to form about parenting and about marriage before I even got married, before I had kids, sitting in services like these, in these chairs, specifically to parenting, which we'll talk about today. I was able to wrestle with a lot of these ideas before I even had kids, before I was married. And then when my wife and I began dating and when we got married and before we had kids, we were able to talk through these things before we had kids. We were able to find a common ground and get on the same page. And I'd encourage you, if you don't have kids yet, to please do that. Don't wait till you have kids to figure this stuff out. Start thinking through these things. If you remember last week, Josh talked to us about New Testament parenting, and he talked about the biblical basis of teaching our kids to obey us. I really appreciated that message. Personally, one thing that stuck out to me was just how easy it is to get sucked into isolation and what that communicates to our kids through technology, whether our kids are sucked into the technology or we as parents are, how easy it is to just zone out and scroll through Facebook rather than engage with our kids. And that's only going to become a more difficult thing as this technology advances and our culture gets more sucked into that. So it was personally convicting to me. I really appreciated that talk. Today, like I said, we're continuing on in the topic of parenting, and I've entitled this talk Parental Dichotomy. I want to take a look at a balance that I believe the Bible would speak that we need to find in parenting. If we fall to either extreme of this dichotomy, we could miss what God might have as the best for our parenting. And so we're going to take a look at two extremes and see how we can find that balance. First, let me tell you about myself. This is my family. My beautiful wife, Kelsey, and I have been married for a little over 10 years now. Our oldest there in the middle is Abel. He's 7. Henry is next to him. He's 5. Lewis is 3. And our only daughter, Joan, is 1. And before you guys jump down my throat about my kids' sweatshirts, you can talk to me later about your disgust for the Patriots. But really, I know that's just deep-rooted in envy in your heart, so I'll give you grace if you want to come talk to me about that. Am I an expert at parenting? Well, kind of. No, I'm just joking. I'm really not at all. I have a lot to learn about parenting. I've only been a parent for 7 years, and though my wife and I, we've learned some things along the way, I believe we have a lot more to learn as we continue to raise our children. But that's like the Christian life, isn't it, right? If we're coming along, we learn things, and we won't know everything we need to know until we go to heaven and be with Jesus. But along the way, we can share what God has taught us, and that's what I want to do this morning. Obviously, I've experienced only the younger years of parenting, and that may have some of you tuning me out at this moment, but I would encourage you to please believe the truth that Jesus can speak to you through his word, and you can apply it to your own heart or apply it to your older kids, whatever that may be, or your grandchildren, whatever your stage you're at. So I'm just going to pray real quick, and I invite you to pray with me. Jesus, I love you. I thank you for this morning. I thank you for everybody that's here. God, I thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for each one of us here. God, you've brought us here to this place, and you want to speak to us now. I pray you'd help us to be open to your word, Jesus. I pray you'd give us hearts to understand, minds to understand. I pray we'd have ears to hear and eyes to see. Jesus, by your spirit, you'd speak to us. Lord, we need your help this morning. I need your help this morning. I pray you'd just speak to us. We commit our time to you and pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's be honest. Parenting, for me, has been the most amazing thing I've ever experienced in my life. I just love being a dad. I absolutely adore my children. I'm obsessed with these people here in this picture. I love to be around them. I love to hug them. I love to kiss them and tickle them, make them laugh and see them smile. I am a crier. I just naturally cry easily. So thinking about my kids, it brings me to tears because I love them so much. Watching a movie that has an emotional scene of a dad with his kids, it's waterworks, man. It just brings me to tears right away. I love being a dad, but at the same time, parenting is the most difficult and excruciating and exhausting thing I've ever done in my life. It has exposed things in me that I don't like. It has revealed my selfishness and my impatience in new ways that I did not know possible. Before we have kids, we can look at a picture like this and just be like, oh, my boy is going to be just like that. Little Tommy, you know, he's so cute. He loves Jesus. He reads the Bible and prays and just comes to me and is like, Daddy, how can I obey you today? You know, just that's what we expect, right? Life is just Instagram-worthy moments all the time. And then we have kids and we realize it's this. This is reality. We realize that kids are just giant messes, that they throw tantrums and they fight and they bicker. And kids can just be the grossest thing sometimes, right? They just smell awful at times. And you're just like, man, what is this thing? There's snot everywhere. There's giant messes. There's just like food crumbs ground into every surface of our home and our car and our hair and our clothing, right? It's just a mess sometimes. Parenting is super difficult. Let's be real about that. It's amazing, yet it's the hardest thing at times. I read some funny articles online that had parents and adults talking about their interactions with toddlers, and I wanted to share some of them with you because I think it just shows how difficult parenting is, so we can all be on the same page going into this. So let me read you the first one. It says, my son wanted me to wrap him like a burrito for bed. I did, but he was upset that I wrapped him like a bean burrito, crying, I wanted to be a chicken and rice burrito. My sister once threw a tantrum because she couldn't climb into the snake enclosure at the zoo. She said they looked lonely. Third one, I teach preschool, and two of my three-year-olds got into a heated argument because they thought only one of them could like onions. There was sobbing, rage, tears all over onions. And finally, it says, our toddler found a photo book of my wife and I having fun on a vacation before we had kids. He melted down, saying, we went out and had fun without him. I told him, buddy, it's because you weren't born yet. And he fired back, I exist. I'm right here. If you've been a parent or you've been around kids for long, you know what these people are talking about, trying to reason with the most stubborn, stuck in their way, opinionated little human being ever, right? And you're just, at times, you're like, where did you learn this? Because clearly I didn't teach you this. But we did teach them that. They learned that from us. We have to realize our kids are sinners, and we're sinners. Just like that, we have deep-rooted sin within us, which brings us to the first point today. And right off the bat, I want to give you a trigger warning. I want to just warn you that I'm going to say something here that you might not like. You might not take it well at first, but please just hear me out. I don't mind if you don't like me. That's okay, honestly, but don't start throwing things at me just yet. Hear me out, because we're going to look at the first side of this dichotomy that I think we need to see. So our first point is you are not unique. You are not unique. You are not one of a kind. Your child is not one of a kind. Your home is not one of a kind. This is a truth we all need to hear, not just for parenting, but truth for the Christian life, for ourselves. We are not unique. We are all the same. We are all messed up sinners who need Jesus every single day. That is who we all are. Biblical truth applies to us all. We need the truth found in the Bible. And specifically, again, we're talking about parenting. And the fact is that the truth of the Bible is for us in our parenting. We as parents need to hear this. Our kids need to hear this, that we all need the truth of the Bible. The scary thing is a lot of times we can see parents who have one of those messy kids that we see up there on the screen, and they think they have a little Tommy that just is so sweet and precious and perfect and unique, and just there's nothing wrong with him. We have to realize our kids are sinners. They're not unique. All of my children are sinners. My wife and I are sinners. We all have areas we need to grow in. We need grace. It is my job to look at my kids and say, you're not unique. You need Jesus. You have greed. You have selfishness. You have sin and anger bound up in your heart, and you need help. All the things that we heard from Josh last week talking about biblical parenting and teaching obedience is directed right at us. We need that. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to us through his word. We shouldn't say, well, I don't need that. My family doesn't need that. My kids don't need that. We do things different. That might work for some kids, but not for us. That works for some parents, but not for us. But unfortunately, we do hear that. It's in the area of parenting that I hear that most. Think about applying that same logic to any other area of your life. If you said, some struggle with sin, but I don't. That's not really a thing for me. Some need the grace of Jesus, but I don't. Some are called to humility, but that we just do things differently. Some are called to evangelize and fulfill the Great Commission, but not us. You know what we would call that in any other scenario? We'd call that unbelief. We'd call that sin. We'd call that foolishness and pride, unrepentance, and we'd call that danger. Really, we would. Can you imagine telling your boss, well, you know, I know the owner of a company has guidelines and regulations. That's not really my thing. I can't follow those. That works for other employees, but not for me. It wouldn't go well for you, would it? Your career would, you'd have a struggling career if you did that. You know, last week at the core meeting on Monday, we talked about the need for us to be people of the word in this church, to be people of the Bible. And the fact that the Bible is that it needs to be the first place we go to for wisdom on life, for answers for our lives, for truth for our lives. And specifically, that applies to our parenting as well. We need the truth of the Bible, and it applies to us all. Listen to this scripture in 2 Timothy. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. I'd say parenting is a pretty good work we need to be equipped for, right? We need to realize this, church, that we are not unique in this need. We need to realize that the truth of the Bible applies to you and to your children. The biblical principles on discipline apply to you and your children. Training your child is your job, and it has been given to you. The call to teaching your kids to obey is for you. Your child is capable of obeying, of being trained and coming under your authority. We need to know those things. The fact of the matter is the Bible is the best parenting book that is out there. The best parenting book ever written, and is the ultimate authority of parenting. And it has truth for us to be wise and fruitful in our lives and in our families. Not just for some, but for all. Too often, instead of digging into our Bibles, though, and applying its truth into our parenting and using its wisdom, we run to the latest article online or the new blog that's talking about the new style of parenting or podcasts, the new fads, instead of going to the source of truth. And those things that we search after are going further and further and further away from the truth of the Bible. We need to understand our biblical mandate as parenting. In parenting, that's super important. We have to know what God wants of us in parenting. And I believe that's found in Malachi 2. It says, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit, you are his. And what does he want? Godly children from your union. That's our mandate for parenting. How do we have godly children? How do we raise godly children? We have to train them and correct them. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Guys, did you know you can train your child to sit quietly and sit still? Did you know we can train our child to come to us when we ask him to? You're allowed to do that. You're not a bad parent for setting boundaries. In fact, you're a better parent for setting boundaries for your children. You're allowed to do that, and they are capable of obeying. Many times I hear parents complain or they talk about difficult things in parenting, and while I can empathize with them and understand that parenting is super difficult, I get that. Many times the first thought in my brain that comes to mind is, did you know you can train your child not to do that? You can train your child to sleep. You can train your child when to eat. You can train your child not to scream. We can do that. Of course, it takes a lot of work and a lot of time and a lot of determination, but it's possible. We need to know that. We can do that. We can train and correct our children. Most of the behavior of our children is just a reflection of what we do or do not allow them to do. And that will only magnify as they get older, what we do and do not allow them to do. That's up to us as parents. We need to know that we can tell our kids no. You should tell your kids no often. Tell them it's the gift of no. Say, I love you. Here's a gift. No. Tell them all the time. We tell our kids no all the time. It is my job to be their parent and to tell them no. They don't have to like me. They don't have to be my friend. They don't have to be buddy-buddy. It's not their job to fulfill some emotional need in me. It's my job to show them love and to be their parent. And the greatest way that we show love is by saying no and correcting them. Listen to these verses in Proverbs. If you love your child, you will correct them. If you don't love them, you won't correct them. And for the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. If you love your children, you will tell them no. Our children need to know that mom and dad are in charge. They need to learn that they can trust what mom and dad say. They need to know that they need help to not follow their own little heart's desires, but to listen to mom and dad and to obey mom and dad. Listen to this verse in Proverbs 19:18. It says, "Discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death." We see consequence of parents not standing up to their children in the Bible. King David wasn't willing to stand up to his son Absalom, who was doing some terrible things. He wasn't willing to correct him and stand up to him. And the nation of Israel suffered because of it. And David suffered because of it. And their family suffered because of it. And Absalom died because of it, because David was not willing to stand up and discipline his child. The high priest Eli was unwilling to stand up to his evil, horrible children who were doing terrible things as priests. And because of that, God says, your children are going to die on the same day. And when he hears about it, he dies. And his family line is no longer high priest after that. There is consequence for not standing up to our children. We need to discipline our kids so the world doesn't have to. The truth is, our children are going to experience discipline and correction at some point in their life. Why not have them experience it in the most loving, beautiful, safe environment possible in our homes? We can teach them to receive discipline and receive correction in a healthy way. On our website, I want to encourage you to go to a talk in a parenting conference we did a couple years ago with Steve and Kathleen Nelson, and it goes a deep dive into biblical, healthy forms of discipline. That talk really has a lot of nuts and bolts, and I encourage you to listen to it because there's so many healthy tools that we need to have in our tool belt to discipline our children. We need to understand the form of discipline has to be something that will bring about change in our children's hearts, something that is unpleasant to them. We can't be soft about discipline and expect them to have change in their hearts. We're helping, we're looking to bring change within their heart, not just good behavior. God doesn't just want good behavior, he wants our heart. Ted Tripp, who wrote Shepherding a Child's Heart, says this: all behavior is linked to attitudes of the heart. Therefore, discipline must address attitudes of the heart. My wife and I are constantly talking about this. How do we get to our kids' heart? How do we get to their kids' heart? What do our kids need? And that changes as they get older. Our oldest, even though he's only 7, the form of discipline has to change a little bit because we have to get to his heart. We have to do something that's going to hurt his heart to show him that there's a consequence to his sin. We have to take away things that really hurt. We want it to matter to him, things that he cares about. In the last couple weeks, what that practically has looked like is when he wasn't doing chores, his morning chores well, we said, all right, buddy, you're doing chores all day today. You're not playing. You're doing chores all day. Or when he wasn't obeying, we had to take away his little bit of TV time that his brothers got to watch TV and he didn't. Or it meant not going back to children's church, which he loves, and having to sit in service and sit still and sit quietly because he wasn't obeying. We have to do things that our children are not going to like because we love them. We can't just sit back and when they whine or complain or they cry about it or they don't like it, we just back down. No, we have to stand up and hold the line. So now that we understand that we're all held to the same standard, that we're not unique, that God has truth for each and every one of us that we each need, my next point might sound like a contradiction because in some ways it is. It's the other side of that dichotomy, which is you are unique. I apologize on your handout. I think it says Proverbs 12:6. It's actually Romans 12:6 here. But we need to realize that we all are unique, right? Each home is different. Each set of parents is different. We each have maybe a different flavor of parenting or a different standard that we hold. Maybe some listen to certain types of music that others would not, or there's just different flavors in our home. We all have been, we've all come from a different background. We were raised in different environments. Our parents did things differently, and so we can't expect each one of us to do it exactly the same. We have different personalities and strengths and weaknesses. Some things that work for me aren't necessarily going to work for you. And in this verse, it says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. That's the dichotomy that we find ourselves in, right? That's the balance we must find in our parenting, that we are unique, we are different, we bring this different flavor to our parenting, and our kids are different. Yet, God holds a high standard for each and every one of us that is not unique to us. We can't lower that expectation just because we're different. We must be wise. We must prayerfully consider our uniqueness. That's of utmost importance. We can't just take what we're taught, what I teach you today or what Josh said or what you've heard in other parenting studies. You can't just take that and say, all right, you did it. It worked for you. I'm going to do it the exact same way. Copy and paste. That could be a detriment to you, to your children. You're not me. I'm not you. We can't do it the exact same way. And that applies to our walk with Jesus. Anytime we hear truth from the Bible, we hear a teaching, we need to go away from that. We need to analyze that. We need to pray over it. We need to look at our Bible and read it, and we need to take it before the Lord and see what is he teaching us. We can't just say, well, I'm going to do the exact same thing that everybody else has done. But all along, we must keep that high biblical standard, right? While my children are all sinners in that same way who need Jesus and love and training and discipline, they are each very different, though, in their own strengths and their own weaknesses. They respond different in different situations. They have different temperaments. And my wife and I aren't able to take what worked for our oldest son and just stamp it on our next son, and then our next son, and then our daughter, and just be like, yep, that'll work. Because it won't work. Some are naturally more prone to look out for their other siblings or for others, while the other ones might just be in their own little world and not think about anyone but themselves. One is more naturally obedient and compliant and doesn't want to rock the boat and wants to say they obey well, while the other one's more confident in pushing his own little will and seeing what he can get away with. One is quieter and tends to be more sensitive, while another is louder and more abrasive and brash and just lashes out in anger too. One of our kids had a long spell of lashing out in anger and biting. Like, he'd bite his siblings, he'd bite kids at church, and it couldn't be our response to be like, all right, well, we're just going to avoid all situations of him seeing other children. We're not going to go to church. No, we have other kids at our home that he was going to bite. If we didn't stand up to him, we had to say, buddy, this is stopping right now. No more. If this happens, there will be a consequence. We have to address things head on. Again, while each child is different, they each have an expectation to listen, to be kind, to obey. That's the rules in our home. You have to listen to mom and dad. You have to be kind. You have to obey. No matter their natural tendencies, they're called to that high standard. Does that always happen? Are my kids perfect? Do they always listen? Are they always kind? Do they always obey? No. But that's what we're aiming towards. That's our goal. That's what we're training towards. For some, it can be easy to think, well, my child's not wild and abrasive and crazy, so that lets me off the hook because he's not talking about that. Perhaps your child's more compliant. So it can be easy to slack off and take our responsibility as seriously, not be as urgent as we need to. And then there's maybe others who have maybe a little more energetic kids, maybe a little wilder, and we can think, oh, I just can't do it. My child won't listen. It won't work. I can't stand up to him. First of all, let me say to that, praise God that you have children whose sin is right there up close and personal. Praise God. You don't have to go searching what they need help with. You know. For some kids who are quieter, honestly, it's more work at times because you have to dig into their hearts and find out what are they struggling with. A little kid who's just a little compliant sometimes is just a little Pharisee. And we could just be like, oh, you're so obedient. No, both of them take work to stand up, to search to our kid's heart. We can't slack in pursuing our child's heart and what they need. We must do more for both of those types of kids. We must do better at knowing what that child needs. And we must seek our child's hearts and their minds and their desires. We must understand their weaknesses and help them with those and address those. Spend more time on those. We have to know their strengths and cultivate those things and praise them and encourage them for the God-given ability that he's given them. We have to prayerfully consider what each of our children need specifically and then act on that. Do you have a pulse on your child's heart, on their needs to grow in character and obedience? Are you determined to do whatever it will take to win their heart? Don't back down. Don't be discouraged in this. I know it's a lot of work, but we have to be bold to act and to win. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For the Spirit of God gave us, the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." God wants to help you in raising your kids to be bold and do whatever it takes. We have to address our kids' hearts specifically and point them to Jesus. Psalm 91 says, "Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." We have to point our kids to Jesus. It's so easy in our culture to care about our child's education. That's like front and foremost all the time is education. And we can think about that so much. Do you care about your child's soul as much as their education? We can't ignore their character and their heart and their soul. Is that a high priority to you? We can care so much about social interaction for our children, make sure they're getting enough and they're just well acquainted in social experience. But we can care more about that than we do about teaching them to love what is good and pure and lovely and true. Deuteronomy 6 says, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk to them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." We should constantly be addressing our child's heart in light of the gospel. I like this quote. Steve Nelson, in his book, Premeditated Parenting, says, "It is in unwavering adherence to God's ways that hope for the future of our families is found." We must point them to a personal relationship with a personal Savior who is Jesus, who is able to meet them specifically, uniquely, in their heart, where they need grace, where they need correction, where they need love in their own unique way. Because parenting is this dichotomy where we are so unique and so different, and yet we are not unique in that we all need Jesus, we all need help. We all need to get counsel, especially in this area of parenting. It says, "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." Memorize that verse. We all need help and advice from those who have gone before us. Don't just watch TV shows and expect to get good parenting advice. Unfortunately, people do that. How messed up are we going to get if that's where we're going to for parenting advice? I mean, if you're going to watch TV, at least go watch like Boy Meets World and Full House, like good family ethics. I'm joking. Don't watch those. Even though when I was a child, I thought that's where a good source of like, oh, they seem like regular people. How messed up is that? Like, don't watch TV and expect, that's not real life. Don't watch The Brady Bunch and Leave It to Beaver and be like, that's just so relatable. My child does that too. That's not real life scenarios. Talk to people whom you trust and whom you see godly fruit in their life and ask them what they did and what they're still doing. Ask them what they think you should be doing in your parenting. Open your life up to them for them to speak into it. Because we should not be doing this alone. Don't try to do this alone. Proverbs 12:15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Church, if there's only one thing you hear me say today, if you tune out everything else I say, please hear this. Do not do parenting alone. Do not be so proud to think you cannot get help. Ask for help. Humble yourselves. You don't have all the answers, and neither do I. We need help. Go to people who love Jesus and love the Bible and are going to give you a biblical view of parenting. Don't go read the latest book on Amazon. Be willing to go to people who are different than you, too. This is so important. It'll stretch you, it'll help you if you're willing to let someone who's not the same as you speak into your life. If you're waiting for someone just like you, you're not gonna find them. What this means in my own life is I go to people who are vastly different than me in personality, but they love Jesus. I'm not an engineer, guys, I'm not. I cry all the time, I'm emotional, I don't like doing charts and graphs just for fun. But guys like Bill and Josh do. They like charts and graphs, and they're engineers, and we have vastly different personalities. But those two men, along with many other men in this church, have made profound, just been amazing examples to me in parenting. Along with their teachings and these sermons that I've been listening to for 12 years, they have always been willing to be a biblical source of counsel in my life. If I'm willing to go to them, if I seek them out, they're always willing to speak truth to me. Whether that's been at a meal in their home or on a long road trip to pastors' conferences, they've been willing to hear my questions and give me godly advice. Are they perfect? No. Are their children perfect? No. Are we going to do things exactly the same? Am I going to do it the same way that they would do it? No. But that's okay, because I respect the way they've parented. I respect the way their children behave. Because we need to be teachable. I need to be teachable. Listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Are you willing to go out of your way to receive instruction? Remember, you are not so unique that you don't need help. Because you are not unique, you need help. And yet, because you are unique, you need help. You get that? In both scenarios, we need help. Let me just say this too, that never once when I've sought godly counsel have I been told, you need to do this exactly the way that I did it. No, every single time it's, here's what I've done. Here's what's worked for me. Now you have to take it to the Lord and pray about it and see where he's leading your family. See how it works for your family. It would do me no good to say, oh, you're not me. Your kid's not me. I can't take that. I can't listen to it. Or it would do me no good to say, well, you got lucky. You have easy kids. You need to hear this. No one gets lucky with easy kids. If you see an obedient child, that parent has done a lot of work to make them obedient, to help them in their obedience. It takes lots of work. We should be wise enough to say, because it worked for them, I can hear it, I can learn from it, I can process it, I can glean what I can from it, and then ultimately I have to do what's best for my family as God leads us. But it does me no good to just say, I'm not going to hear it. We don't have all the time today to get into the nitty-gritty of every application and practical step to take. Because honestly, as new things come up, we have to figure it out as they come, right? We need to be teachable in new moments. When something comes up, we have to seek counsel. Say, what do I do here? And then the next time a new thing comes up, say, what do I do here? And one thing, parents, you should understand this. Being teachable and showing that you're teachable is a great example to your children to be teachable. It shows them that mom and dad don't know everything, yet they seek help. And maybe I can receive help too. My three-year-old has to learn this right now every time I go to put his shoes on. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. I have to get down on his level and say, son, you're being proud. Daddy's going to help you. You can receive help. We have to be willing to get help. Our fourth point is to have a plan. The comedian Jim Gaffigan says this, I don't know what's more exhausting about parenting, the getting up early or acting like you know what you're doing. Guys, we can't shoot from the hip here. Some of you are super detailed, organized, like in every area of your life, down to the calories you eat. You like have spreadsheets about that and spreadsheets about when you mow your lawn and water it and fertilize it. And then when it comes to parenting, you're like, I'll figure it out. How does that work? You should care more about your children than you do about your grass. Let your grass die. You care about your kids more. We need to have a plan. I'm not saying I have everything thought out in every single decision. If you do, don't be that planned out. Be willing to allow God to lead us and the Holy Spirit to speak to us because things change. But do you have a foundation for a plan? Do you know what you want from your children? What do you care most about for your kids? What's important to you as a parent for your kids? For some of you, that is like education or fitness or social interaction. For me, for my kids, those things are important, but they're not the top priority. And the most important thing for my kids is that they learn character, that they learn integrity, to learn to be hard workers, to be respectful to others, to be obedient to their parents, to listen to teachers. Our entire life with our kids is filtered through that. Whether they go to school or they stay homeschooled or whether they're a part of an activity or a sport or they get to be involved in something, whether they're going to go to a sleepover or whether they have a cell phone or whether they have screen time, all of that is filtered through, do we have our kids' heart? How are they growing? Are they perfect? No, they're never going to be perfect. But are they growing? Do we have their heart? Are they growing in character? Do they respond well when we give them direction? Are they with us? Parents, we need to have our kids with us to teach them. They need to be with us. It's our job to train them. We got to be around them more. In our plans for our kids, we must keep in mind our end goal. We have to be wise enough to see that life's not always going to be like this right now. And our goal is not to have a perfect five-year-old. Our goal, because they're never going to be perfect, first of all. Humans are perfect, aren't perfect. You're not perfect. But our end goal is for our children to one day hopefully be a good member of society who loves Jesus and wants to tell people about Jesus and live for him. That's our end goal. That's what we're working towards, not to have perfect children right now. That's the goal we're working towards. A few practicals I want to get into real quick, and we'll fly through these. I just wanted to say, though, if you ever have questions, please come find somebody and ask questions. I'll be in the lobby after. I'd love to talk to you. If you have questions or concerns or thoughts, I'd love to talk about this. But we're just going to run through some quick practicals of having a plan. We need to have a clear expectation for our children and be consistent. Colossians says, "Fathers, don't provoke your children lest they become discouraged." Do your kids know what's expected of them? Can they tell you what you expect them of them? Can they repeat it? Do they know how you want them to respond? Do they know how you want them to obey? If they can't communicate that, it's not fair to them for us to hold a standard over them. They have to be able to communicate it. We have to be able to communicate it. My wife and I are constantly talking to our kids about what we expect them to do, how we expect them to obey, whether we're sitting at dinner, whether we're driving to church or we're driving to an activity. We talk about it. This is what I expect you to do. This is how I expect you to obey. I want you to obey quickly, cheerfully, and completely. They know that when I say, "Child, how do you obey?" Quickly, cheerfully, completely. We talk about those situations all the time. They have to be reminded. Driving to church, we say, "Children, when we get to church, this is how we want you to behave. This is what we expect. If you don't do these things, this is your consequence." So it's not a question to them. It's not a surprise to them that all of a sudden, "Oh, Dad wants me to obey." When things are unraveling in our home and our parenting and our kids are getting a little more wild, we have to come back to, are we making a clear expectation to them? Are we communicating to that to them? And if the answer is no, we have to do a better job at communicating that. Second point is we have to be on the same page with our spouse. I understand there's single parents here, and I just want you to know there's grace in that. Jesus walks with you. As a church community, we want to walk with you and support you in any way that we can. But for those of us that are married and are teams of parents, we need to be on the same page. Mark says, "A kingdom divided by civil war will collapse. A family splintered by feuding will fall apart." We need to talk about parenting with our spouse. We can't just not talk about it. We need to think through it. We need to pray through it. We need to plan together. We need to talk about it some more. If you don't agree, talk about it. Talk about it till you agree. We need to fight for unity. If it doesn't feel right to one of you, talk about it more. Pray about it more. Get more counsel. Unfortunately, I talk to a lot of couples where this is not the reality. Maybe the husband has a conviction about how he wants his children to be raised, or the wife has a feeling of how things aren't going well, yet they don't talk about it. That's not going to do any good for you or for your children. You have to get on the same page. We can't have an unwillingness to hear the other side. You can't be unwilling to share your heart with your spouse. Work as a team. And dads, I want to talk to you specifically real quick. Guys, we got to lead out in our parenting. It's not a wife's job to just do all the parenting. We have to lead our families. We should lead out. Guys who have young children, you should change diapers. You should put your kids to bed. Any dad, you should come home early from work and be with your children. You should stop doing so many things outside the home. You need to be with your kids. Serve your wife by leading out in parenting. And engage with your wife about parenting. Engage with her heart. Draw her out. Say, "How do you think we're doing? How do you think our kids are doing? Is there anything I can help you with? Is there any way I can support you?" Listen to her. Don't just be like, "I don't want to hear what your complaints." Listen to her. Serve her. Guys, we got to do better at this. And we also need to make a clear expectation to our kids that what mom says goes. We're a same team. We're on the same page. You're not going to get a different answer from me than you got from mom. This is critical. Our kids must know we're on the same page. Finally, we need to be an example as parents. We need to be an example of seeking Jesus. We need to be an example in humility. We need to be an example in our need for Jesus. Show your children that you are not unique and that you need Jesus like everyone else. One of the greatest ways we can be an example is living grace. We need grace. They need grace. We need to show them what biblical grace is, true grace. Be an example of apologizing and seeking forgiveness. Parents, be the first to do that for your kids. When I sin against my kids, and I do that often, when I speak harshly to them, or when I speak rudely to my wife in front of them, it is my job to be the first one to go to them and say, children, son, daughter, please forgive me. I was wrong. We have to admit fault. We have to humble ourselves. We have to show them that mom and dad are not too proud to ask for forgiveness. Therefore, I can do the same. Listen, we have to be an example to our children. It talks about it all the time. Is in the Old Testament, God called the Israelites to talk about this, to be an example to their children and their children's children. We don't have time to read this, but in Deuteronomy 4, read that. It talks about we have to be an example to our children. So much of our success in parenting hinges on us being an example. We have to talk. We have to walk the walk, right? We can't just talk. Our children will know if we're faking it, if we don't live it out. That doesn't mean we're perfect. That doesn't mean we do everything right. It means we show them that we need grace and we need Jesus. So as we bring this to a close, we must realize that we all need help, that we're not unique in that way. We must realize at the same time that we are unique in our family. We must realize God has called us to live out a biblical standard uniquely within our family and to find that balance. We must get help and have a plan. And really, ultimately, we got to commit our work to the Lord. The greatest task we've been called to as parents is for our kids. We have to take that seriously and ask the Lord for his help. In Proverbs 6:13, it says, commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. Let's pray. Jesus, I love you. I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Jesus, that you help us in our parenting. You have a good plan for us, for our children, Lord. I thank you that you love our kids more than we do, that they are yours, Lord. And you want to help us, God. I pray you'd help us to find that balance in parenting, of knowing how to teach our kids that they need help, just like we need help. Help us to point them to you, Jesus. Help us to get help in our parenting. To help us to be an example to our children in loving you, Lord, not in having it all together, not in knowing all the things, but in seeking you earnestly, Jesus. We need your help in that. I pray you'd just give us grace as we leave from here. We love you and we pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen.